a worldwide revival. Some people don't see it that way, but I'm just telling you right now. You know, Beth, you can go ahead. I don't really have a title this morning. I couldn't get line upon line this morning. But you know, I didn't know that I needed a revival. I didn't know that I needed a revival in my life till I met Jesus. And once I met Jesus, then he began to turn everything contrary in my life to what I was used to. He began to, but it was all bringing from chaos to structure in my life. And that's what he's doing in this world, you know, right now. He's bringing, you know, I mean, we should not even be politicking. None of us should be into all of that politics stuff. We should be into the Bible and Bible prophecy and what God does on a... I was sitting one time and I heard this preacher. He said, some of you need a world vision. And I thought to myself, what's he talking about, a world vision, man? You know, world vision. So I began to ask God, what's a world vision, you know? And over the course of time, you know, I begin to think, well, he's past my church. You know, he's talking past Alabama, past Tennessee, you know, and what God's doing in the world, you know, what is he really doing in the world? And what I see right now in the for the last 4 years, I've seen what I believe is the great falling away from faith. The falling away from faith. You know, you can't do this. I told a brother here a while back, Cap's having a hard time and blah, blah, blah. And I told him, I said, well, look, man, I said, there's one thing you can't do. I said, you can't do these things without Jesus. You cannot do ministry without Jesus. You cannot have the promises of God without going through Jesus. You know, because the Bible plainly tells us looking unto Jesus. It don't say looking at all the destruction. Look at all the trouble. Look at all the trial. It says looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we've been talking about love. And one of the things, you know, Bradley even talked about it Wednesday night. See, love is in us if we're born again. If you're not born again, then the love of God is not residing in you. And the God kind of love is not a natural love. It's a supernatural love that takes you from racism to freedom. I mean, it starts taking you into liberty, into the liberty. The Bible says, stand therewith in the liberty where Christ Jesus made you free, and don't be yoked again with the yoke of bondage. How many knows that when we're looking to the Lord Jesus, just like some people say, well, this administration, blah, 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 that administration, blah, 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 and always go, that's blah, blah, blah. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. And I believe that he is going to do what we are believing him as believers across the nation and across the world. We're believing God for freedom. Amen? I mean, there's all kinds of scriptures in the Bible, you know, and that's one thing that I've done, you know, tried and endeavored to do is to keep my eyes on the Lord Jesus. And I went out and I was thinking how long we've been here as a church, 23 years. And I thought, God, your love in me for people has caused me to endure for 23 years. Come on, when you're operating in love, faith don't burn out. Faith is energized by the love of God. Now, you know, the Lord spoke to me one time, you know, because it seemed like a lot of my issues was in my family. Trying to get me out of love, you know, to fight like I used to, and blah, 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 you know. And the Lord spoke to me one day, and he said, son, he said, if Satan can't get to you out there, he said, he's going to try to get inside. He will use the ones, if he can, closest to you, that you love, that you care about, hallelujah, you know. And so I thought, oh, man, I understand now. Then I thought about the scripture in Ephesians where it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. In other words, I begin to realize through the scripture and the Holy Spirit and walking in love. When you decide to walk in love, you'll begin to get revelation of things that you wouldn't normally get concerning how the enemy's coming at you. You see, once we decide to walk in the love of God, that we're not going to be angry no more. I was an angry man. I was a hurt man. I was a torn man at 27 years old. And healing began when I give my heart to Jesus. And over the course of time, God gave me opportunities to walk in and develop the love of God. To let it get stronger and stronger in me. You know, Dr. Teresa was bringing it out, you know. He tells us to love one another like He loves us. He says for us to love one another like Christ loves us. That's pretty deep, ain't it? That means I should never abandon you. That means I should be there for you. That means that I should really, honestly, without you even know it, pray for you. And when I know you're in need of spiritual strength, lift you up and not tear you down. That's a lot. Jesus is even on the right hand right now making intercession for us, right? Because we want to pray like when people are attacked with cancer and all that. Look, God has already defeated cancer. Jesus stripped it. I mean, it's under the curse, hallelujah. And the Bible says that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law of sin. We've been redeemed from it, hallelujah. And when we're walking in love, I believe that just as Peter walked, I mean, he was walking in the Spirit. When you're in love, walking in love, you're walking in the Spirit. Look, the Scripture says you are in the Spirit if Christ lives in you. You got to get in the flesh. I mean, I'm born again and I'm walking in the Spirit, didn't even know it. And I'm like, what happened to me? I didn't want to kill nobody no more. I didn't want to die no more. I didn't want to commit suicide no more. And I'm like, what happened to me, man? What happened? Something happened. I didn't even know what happened, see. But life came in me. Love came on the inside of me. Jesus came, Christ in you. He is love, right? He loves us. He loves us just like God loved Him, He said. And then we're to love one another just like He loves us. Oh, He loves us, man. And I mean, He's merciful for... I mean, He's been in my life for 30 years and I still got a lot of flaws and He ain't let me go yet. He's not cast me out yet. He's not cut me off. He's always wooing me to come on and come on higher like Teresa was talking about. You know, and when the body... Because the Lord is coming back after a glorious church. The Bible says it. If it says He's coming back after glory, you know what that means to me and you? Woo, man, we're going to be just like Jesus. I mean, we're going to be walking in power. We're going to be speaking to mountains. And He said, whatsoever things we desire, when we pray, believe that we receive it and we'll have it. We're going to be speaking to those mountains. We're going to be speaking to the storms and they're going to be obeying us. Walking in love will cause us to walk in a higher level of faith. Faith is not of the head. Faith is of the heart. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, it says faith comes by hearing. And that's great. Hearing the word, hearing sermons and all that. But you know what? You know what I found out? All of that, I can't get anything from any of those when I'm down, if I'm not walking in love. Love opens us up to hear. From the Holy Spirit. It just opens the door for the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, I believe it's in Romans 12:18, it says, be not overcome with evil. That's not it. That's wrong, Beth. Take it off. I'll just quote it. It may not really be Romans 12. But anyhow, it says, Paul said, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, you know, just like, you know, in my family over the years, and I mean, it happens periodically, whether it's intentional or non-intentional, it don't really matter. It don't really matter. It's what I do with it is what matters. It's how I respond to a situation, whether it's work, we have it at work. People think you own your own business. You don't never go through trials. Dear God, you go through more trials in your own business than you ever would clocking in and out. I believe you would anyhow. I've done both of them, you know. But all of it don't matter whether it's clocking in out or on business. You deal with people. You deal with circumstances and all of that stuff. And Paul said, he said, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And you know, it's just like when we went through COVID, you know, and I know that when somebody stops coming, we don't go to church regular, for just a little while, it's hard for a lot of folk to get started back. Some folk, it's not. They just they make their mind up, you know. And so COVID, you know, and they put mandatory shutdown on the church, you know. And I thought, this is totally contrary to Scripture. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some. And I wasn't satisfied at all, because I thought, man, if people don't continue on, a lot of times going to church, you know, they'll fall away. They'll get out, you know. And there's nothing takes place of coming to church. I mean, even listening to Jensen Franklin or some of them, there's just something about the assembling together that there is a corporate anointing. But anyways, I went on, you know, and I'm like, I don't care, Lord. I'm not going to, I didn't want to lead people into being anti-government, you know, against KIV or any of that, you know, but the CDC and all of that stuff. But I was a real unsatisfied person because I couldn't come to church. And so, but I had to operate in love, you know. And so then I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, we're going to have drive-ins. You know, so we put speakers out here and we had church, you know, somewhat out there. But that wasn't sad. Finally, I made up my mind. I said, and I mean, even people on Facebook, you know, they call me a killer because I was gathering together. I'm trying to kill people. And all that. And I thought, that's stupid, man. I love people. I'm trying to save them, man. You know, because faith overcomes COVID. I didn't care really what the CDC and the new stuff and what they say. And all of that ended up a bunch of hoax stuff. A bunch of stuff. And that's why it got on a lot of our nerves, you know, even though we're walking in love. But I set out and I said, I'm going back. If I have to go to jail, I'm going to go back. I'm going back to church, hallelujah. I'm going because I felt at that time I've got to be a strong walk in love leader and a strong walk in faith leader. How many knows us men, we're anointed that way? Women are too, but we're anointed to lead our family to Jesus. We're anointed to lead our family in the love walk. Had I not walked in love with my wife, I'd have divorced her 8,000 times in 30 years. Had I not walked in love with my family, I would have disowned a bunch of them years ago. Now, they way better now, most of them say, you know what I'm saying? But walking in the love of God put me in a position of strength. It put me in a position of power with the Lord. And that's the way it does with us, hallelujah. You know, put that James up, Beth. I know I got it right. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's something that, you see, you got faith. We got faith. Every man's been given the measure of faith. I build my faith. I build it on prosperity. I'm going to prosper. I made up my mind. This Bible says that God loves me and God has good purpose for me, a good plan for me in Jeremiah 29:11, all the way over into Psalms over there. He said he will increase me more and more, both small and great. I mean, the Psalms 23 said the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. That's not a funeral one. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does that mean? I shout out. So I set out my mind and my heart, because we lived in poverty. We were in poverty. We could not really get nothing on our own, you know, and all of that. And I thought, there's too many Bible promises that God loves us, that God loves me and Teresa. If we will follow Him, and I'm sitting one day on my porch and I'm thinking, can God really do all this? I've been saved maybe about 6 or 8 months and I had my mind, I'm just thinking, you know, and all the trials are going on. I didn't know how to count it joy and let endurance work. I didn't know how yet. Let patience have its perfect work, that you come to where you want what? Nothing. What's 14 say? Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be mature and entire, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. Not spiritual, not financial, not physical, that's lacking nothing. And the Bible says The Paul said, but my God shall supply all of your needs. How many is that? Every one of them. Well, Satan knows that, and Satan knows that when we walk in love and we build our faith through the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, Satan knows that he has to get us not to walk in love, because our faith don't work, then all these promises will not come to us. And so I made up my mind. I thought, God, I'm wondering if it works. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me because I was serious with God. If you're serious with Him, He'll speak to you. He'll quicken you. I've never heard an audible voice of God. But I know on the inside now that I walk with Him, that when it's Him and when it's not, bearing witness with my thoughts, with the Word of God. But the Lord spoke to me. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, if you will serve me, if you will follow me, He said, I will bring you to the place to where you lack nothing. You want nothing. At that time, I thought, man, is that possible? I mean, we had a broken life at that time, you know, and we're going to church just hanging on. We just going after Jesus. You know, and I made up my mind. I thought, okay, if following you brings me and gets me a good marriage, then I'm going to follow you. If it'll get me a better job, then I'm going to follow you. And I started believing for God's best, even back down there. You know what? He didn't even have me to change jobs. He increased me quickly with the job that I'd had. That I knew that there's no way that I could make the kind of money that I was making at the same job I've been to for nearly 10 years without God. I mean, that happened, and I knew. I was like, man, God's even doing it with my boss. I mean, He's bringing me favor. Then I started going and I started reading the scriptures on favor. How that I was favored of God, and we're favored of God. They say Mother Mary, you know, highly favored and all of that stuff. That's fine. Yeah, she was chose to have Jesus. She was a woman just like y'all are. Hallelujah. Y'all had a bunch of little Jesuses. If you've had kids, right? We're supposed to be imitators of God, right? All our kids are precious. They're gifts of God, right? Hallelujah. They're not Jesus, but I'm just saying, hallelujah. They're the next generation. Some people, all Jesus, they're going to see of Jesus is the Jesus in us. Hallelujah. Letting Him manifest Himself through us. Well, you know what? I watched the Lord for year after year after year. Now, we didn't just boom and come to the place to where we had nothing overnight. No, we had issues that God was working out. I had racial issues. I had anger issues. I had jealousy issues. And I don't got none of them today. The Bible says, whom the Son is set free is free indeed. And Teresa would quote it through the house. Who the Son is set free is free indeed. And I was like, why ain't I free then? Why am I not free then? Why have I still got this? And why do I still do this? But I realized, you know, that you've got to count things joy when you're in these trials at home. In these trials. One of my family members got mad at me one time and was upset with me because I wouldn't do something. I've had a bunch of them upset. So one of them thought I ought to go and rent a motel for their drug head son, put him up in a motel if I really loved. You know, if I really loved, I would have. What kind of church are y'all? Y'all that faith bunch? No, we're Jesus followers. We're led by the Holy Spirit. We're not led by need. We do what the Lord says, just like you. You're led by the Holy Spirit in your life. Whatever the Lord's speaking to you, you'll begin to go that way. You'll begin to acknowledge Him. You'll begin to go that way, and people won't understand some of the actions that you take. It'll look like you're not walking in love, but because you are in love, you're getting revelation from the Lord, and you're in faith, and you move forward, and things work well with you. Hallelujah. Well, you know, one of them got upset with me one time, and I thought, you know what? Scripture says overcome evil with good, so I called that person up. And I said, where you at? Blah, blah, blah. Didn't even want to talk to me or nothing like that, you know, and everything. I said, well, how about meet me, blah, blah, blah. I got $100 for you. I don't reckon that family member's ever been mad at me again. $100. Ain't that what the Bible says? Overcome evil with good, right? I knew that I hadn't did it. I knew that they were being played by the enemy. And I knew that I wasn't going to fall into the trap of the enemy. Although it was real, it felt real, it felt terrible. You know, I mean, those feelings and emotions are there. They feel terrible. But the scripture said for me to overcome evil with good. So I knew that it was evil trying to get to me. And so I did good. And I overcame. And that's not the only time. I did it with other folk, you know. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart to do, you know, He will give you wisdom. He'll give you understanding. You got to get out of your own understanding. And say, God, this is not the way we know. That's why the Bible says, don't be conformed to this world. See, the world will love you as long as you're doing for them. They'll be your buddy as long as you're favorable to them in some way. But now, you know, because basically the world, people in the world without God, most basically are self-centered. I mean, they're self-centered, self-seeking, self-willed. It's all about me and mine. I've even got them in my family, you know. They think, well, you know, I've got my family to take care of other than helping some others in my family. They got their own family. See, that's not right. No, that's not right. Hallelujah. If God wants that person to give outside of their... I mean, Travis is not the only one I give to. Right? Just because he's my son don't mean that I'm supposed to favor him over other people. Hallelujah. I'm to be led by the Holy Ghost. Times did it, you know, I've not give him anything when I knew he needed. I'm his father. I'm not his keep you up. Right? Got the same Jesus. Some people said, well, that's not really love. No, that is love. Because the Bible says if a man won't work, he don't eat. I didn't write it. Paul did through the Holy Spirit. So the Lord, you know, the Lord, even walking in love, you know, I carry the, you can give them the gospel, give them the way, to, you know, to get in there with the Lord. But God's going to prosper the body of Christ in this last hour. The wealth of the wicked is going to be transferred over to the people that are going to move forward with God and build His kingdom and do the things that He tells them to do. Those are the kinds of folk that are willing to do what God says, that is going to get this wealth transfer that's going to be, the scripture says it. I even told the Lord one time, I said, oh man, that's not good, Lord. I mean, these people working hard, you know, their money, and they're not going to serve you, and it's going to be transferred over to us. And he said, well, I give them the same opportunity like you. He said, now you give me what's mine. He said, all I'm asking out of them is to give me what's mine. He said, but you give me what's your, but we're positioned in a place when we're walking in love and walking in faith, fighting. Sometimes you got to fight. 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold, hallelujah. And what that's meant for me over the years is there could nothing stop the blessing of the Lord, Proverbs 10:22, but me. All I got to do is walk in love towards God, love the brethren. I mean, I have a greater opportunity than any of y'all to walk in love because there's so many of y'all. Right? You got two or three, you know, but I mean, I felt one of my brothers, he actually shut the church down. He said, I can't take it. He said, I don't know how you take it. I said, what is it? He said, it's just an unending cycle in church. He said, you get them in there. He said, and you get them walking good with the Lord. He said, then here comes some more in diapers. He said, then they go to getting mad because these come in with diapers. He said, now I got to go back and give them a bottle again. He shut the church down. Well, what I'm saying in that is I thought, that's, you know, if you walk in love and in faith, then none of these things move you. You hate it. You hate to see it. You know, but you're not going to criticize. You're not going to judge them. You know, you're going to pray for them. You're going to stand and believe God. Kind of like a guy told me here a while back. I met him down here in the Dollar General. I've had him church here for on and off, you know, a bunch of them. And anyways, run into him. Every time I run into him, he feels conviction. You know, he feels conviction. So anyway, he walked over there. He said, "I'm coming back to church, Brother Scotty." He said, "You never give up on me." And I thought, you know what? You just don't know how I wanted to shoot you and get you off the planet. Right? Feeling wise. I'm talking about feeling wise. You know. I mean, because we pour our life out to see. You can't let Satan play these games with you. You know, it's my reasonable service. It's your reasonable service. It's just your reason. You just used all of these things to build yourself up in God. Up in the love of God, hallelujah. But he said, count it all joy. You know, now I'm not going to ask God, Mac, for no trials. They're coming anyways. But if you want to ask God for more, go ahead. I'm not. But you know, I am going to say, praise God. Praise God, Lord, this trial right here is going. That's how you do it. God, no weapons formed against me will prosper. Your word says to have endurance so that my faith, so that I can endure. See, look, once you run out of patience, your faith ends there. Patience is endurance. You got to endure. Endure your marriage. You know, and Travis shared something, Jensen Franklin, you know, and I'd heard some people say before that marriage is 50-50, and I never agreed with that. I said, no, marriage is not 50-50. I said, it's 100%. I said, I've got to be 100% dedicated. My marriage is not going to be based on if my wife, if she's 50 and I'm 50. Because I might come up short. Right? She might have to. I got to be willing to. And Travis shared it and talking about sacrifice. Life is sacrifice. I was thinking about how that salvation without sacrifice is probably not saved. Because the minute that I got born again, I had to sacrifice my will at that moment. I surrendered my will to the will of God. And ever since I've been born again, and I've been walking with the Lord a few years, you know, I've had to sacrifice. I've had to sacrifice finances. I've had to sacrifice time, like Teresa was talking about. I've had to sacrifice, you know, time on the phone, talking to people, counseling with people. We've had to put our life but that's normal. That's just the way it is. And you count it all joy. Hallelujah. Give me that Psalms 23, I believe. I believe that's what I want. The Lord is your shepherd. You need to say that. You're my shepherd, Lord. And I shall not want. I'm at a funeral. I used to go to a funeral when I knew that I was called to preach. You know, I thought, man, I'm going to have to do funerals, you know. And I didn't know how to do funerals, so I'd find out there was funeral, wherever a funeral was. I've been to Coleman and Hansville and, you know, and I'd go to the funeral home. I don't know none of them, but I'd just show up, you know, and I'd go sit in the back, and they'd probably wondering which cousin's that. Never seen him before because I got some wild looks, you know. But I kept hearing, but I was going to these funerals because I'm like, I need to know how they kind of do it, you know, if I'm going to have to preach funerals and stuff, you know. I need to kind of see how it goes. And so I've been in a lot of different funerals, you know, even before I ever preached one. But what I noticed is this scripture, this Psalms 23, was very famous in the funeral homes. You know, and the Lord spoke to me one day, and he said, that's not for the funeral. He said, what does it say? He can't lead you by the still waters. If you're gone, right? If you're absent from here, you're in glory land. You're in streets of gold and walls of jasper and onyx. You're already up there. See, the Lord's our shepherd now, we shall not want. And you know, I've noticed seasons in my life and Christians' life where there's different seasons we'll go through. There's seasons in the natural. You got spring, you got summer, you got fall, you've got winter, And all of them are necessary. All of those seasons are necessary. We got seasons in our life. There are seasons of testing that we'll go through that I believe that we sharpen our skills and we use what weapons we know to use and everything. Then there are seasons where everything is fine. You're not having any trials. Your finances are going good. Your kids are not acting up. Everything's going smooth. And that's a time to build yourself up and praise God. Begin to praise God and say, because the Lord spoke to me one time and he said, you don't wait till you get in a trial to get prepared for the trial. He said, you build yourself up. You gird up the loins of your mind. Paul said it. Gird up the loins of your mind. And that means be ready for action. You know, be ready for action. Hallelujah. So when the enemy turns it on, I mean, I just got in a trial the other day at work. It could have cost me $4,000 if I'd have got mad. Thought I got upset, and I almost did. I almost yielded to it and all of that. And I thought, nah, because I understand when trials comes, they're not easy usually. They're terrible. Usually they're because it puts pressure on you to make choices. What you going to do in this trial, you know? Well, I yielded the right way, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you're my shepherd. You're my shepherd, I shall not want. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Lord, we know that all things work together for the good to those that love you, Lord. See, that's what we do. That's how we fight. We use the scripture to combat what, I mean, the doctors, you know, you listen to the Facebook and on the TV, some of them says salt's good for you, some of them says salt ain't. Some of them says bologna's good for you, some of them says it ain't. You know, and I'm like, man, everybody's got a different view of what. And I thought, we got to use the Word of God because really, only God can truly heal. Like natural medicine. There was a guy coming here and he had been to church all his life, him and his wife. And they come down and, of course, we wasn't a denomination they was used to, but I was nice to them over there and talked to them and, you know, and every time somebody would move into the house, I'd go over there and get them to come to church and all of that, try to get them to come to church, you know, and all of that. Well, he was on several different kinds of meds. He'd never even heard about, you know, the prayer of faith. He didn't know Mark 11. I mean, it's in his Bible, but he had never been taught. He'd never been heard that kind of preaching, you know. People had been against it. But anyhow, he'd come and I was preach on healing every now and then. I'd say, you know, don't quit taking your medicine. Don't just stop taking your medicine, but take the gospel. Take that medicine. And when you do take that medicine, you just declare over yourself, God, I thank you. Along with your word, I'm healed. I'm healed. I said, you just do that and confess your healing because it's already been paid for. I said, then go and let the doctor, when he does the test on you, let him take you off the medicine. And you know what? That dude was on about 12, 14, I don't remember, a bunch. He was on a bunch of medicine. And when they left here, he had two or three. Every time he'd go to the doctor, he'd be like, well, this is regulated out and this is leveled out. And he'd come to me and he says, I've never heard this kind of stuff. He said, but it's in the Bible. I said, that's right, it's in the Bible. I said, it's real clear right there. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Now, when you pray and you begin to believe that, then you're going to have to cast down those thoughts that tells you it's not going to happen. You're going to have to turn off the TV that says it's not going to happen. You're going to have to turn off Christians that says that it's not going to happen. Don't be ugly and rude with them. Just don't receive anything that is contrary to what you're believing. Right? Hallelujah. Just don't receive anything contrary to what you're believing, praise God. But we... healing belongs to us. I mean healing and health and my body tells me sometimes, you know, different things. But I don't ask my body how I feel. I tell my body what you're going to do. Hallelujah. You know, just like they say arthritis runs in my family, you know. And I told my mom one time, I said, get rid of it. Get rid of that arthritis, Mom. Well, the doctor said, I said, look, whose report are you going to believe, Mom? I said, you know, I said, you can get rid of the arthritis. You're laying hold of it. Satan's got you believing that there's nothing you can do about it. I said, but you can. I said, you can rebuke it in the name of Jesus. It's under the curse, hallelujah. Well, I've had it attack my arms and different things, you know, and I believe it was arthritis. And I mean, I reach in and get a jug of tea or something out of the refrigerator, just terrible pain, you know. And so I started rebuking it. I said, you will not come on my body. I resist you in the name of Jesus. Well, ain't that what the Bible says? Resist the devil and he has to flee. Well, arthritis ain't of the devil. Go read Deuteronomy 28. It's under the curse of the law, and we're redeemed from it. We don't live under the curse of the law. We're just Jesus prayed it this way. He said, I pray that it be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I thought, how is it in heaven? There's no more tears, no more sorrows, right? No more sickness, no more disease, right? New body, everything. And Jesus prayed that it be done here as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. And I believe that if we'll lay hold of it, I believe Jesus' prayer will come to pass in our life. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. I know we're in, you know, a lot of turbulence, a lot of troubled waters. Some of us in our life, trials, sickness, family, different things. But stand. Stand, hallelujah, and believe God, and we're standing with you. I'm standing with you, believing God, for total victory. And I believe we're going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. And I know that if God can do it for men, Teresa, financially, marriage, everything else, because we allowed Him to, there's nothing impossible if we'll believe God, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. So, and just like one day He comes and He said, I see people like, He said, God's going to send a bunch of people. He said, I see them like tulips. He said, you're out there and you're just around them tulips. And in the very next service, you don't have as many people. Now, what am I going to believe? What I see or what the Lord has said? And he said they're going to come from this way. I said, that's what we've been believing for years. You know, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, you give Christians the ability to look like Gideon. All odds was against him, and he won in Jesus. Joseph, sold into slavery, had a dream from the Lord, stayed in a right spirit, and it brought him where he saved them all. Joseph. Hallelujah. Jesus looked like he was at disadvantage, mocked on the cross. They cast lots for his clothes. Hallelujah. And Stephen, the same way with Jesus. When they were stoning him to death, he looked up and he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what Jesus did. Jesus did the same thing. But you know what? See, for the glory that is on the person that endures way outweighs the thing that you go through if you yield to the Lord and you trust the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you. And Lord, we thank you today.